You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network.
Monday, November the 25th, this is CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. Today in the studio we have Erso. We're listening to a tune from their album called Nightshade. Nightshade by Erso. We have Erso in the studio today.
Hello.
Welcome, Keenan Reimer Watts, and welcome, Veda Hingard McDonald.
Hello.
Hey.
This is beautiful music.
Thanks.
How do you compose?
That's a that's a long conversation. How do we compose?
Well, most of the time we each like individually write songs and then bring them to each other.
Yeah.
And then sort of workshop them together and figure out how we're going to arrange them and play them together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's sort of the original process of songwriting on our own is mostly just sort of however we're feeling, whatever comes out. For me, I usually write lyrics first and and then set them to music.
I usually write the music first and have the whole song and then eventually wonder, okay, what is this actually about lyrically, and then put lyrics to it. Yeah, so it's the opposite process for me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But you collaborate too.
Yeah, I guess like when you ask how do you compose, recording is an entirely different different beast, right? Like when we've kind of co-written a few things, just like sitting beside each other and like working stuff out just for violin and guitar, right?
Or even like more recently we wrote a whole song together from scratch, like lyrics and music, and so we've had sort of different sort of types of interactions in that sense, and we're working on doing a bit more sort of from scratch collaborating from the get-go. But
But Nightshade, I mean, what you just listened to, mm-hmm. that was an example of what recording can do that you can't necessarily write down. So I kind of, you know, the whole guitar part for that was already pre-written, and then we recorded that. And then basically Veda just improvised 10 different violin takes. So it was, for a 5-minute song, there was 50 minutes of violin improvisation mm-hmm. along. And so how do you compose in that case? Well, I just listen to every little second and snip it up, and yeah.
So Veda, when you recorded the violin, was that one continuous 15-minute take, or were you listening to the guitar track over and over and over again to put new layers of sound on?
Yeah, so for the most part, I would just like go through sort of the first chunk of the song and record it like maybe 10 times or something, and then move on to the next section, stuff like that. Every once in a while I would, you know, yeah, listen to the entire song and play along to the whole thing, but mostly I would do just sort of like, yeah, the sort of A section of the song and do that a few times and yeah, give Keenan lots of material to sift through.
A lot of material to sift through.
And when it all comes together, who does the actual assembly, the production, the...
That would be mostly me. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just hanging out at a computer, listening to the same sound maybe 30 times, just a 5-second segment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just getting it exactly where you want. It's really fun. Yeah.
I thought you had some notes from a post-production recording engineer. Is that...
That's just to learn. I mean, it's still... This was the first album I'd say I've kind of released professionally, mm-hmm. and I've done a lot of messing around, but yeah, definitely still... a long journey learning how to produce. And
we had it like professionally mastered by a mastering engineer.
Yeah, Dylan King.
After the mixing and production in that way. And and there were a couple things that like we looked at together and stuff like that, but definitely mostly Keenan doing the sifting.
But I've seen you play live at mm-hmm. places like Extinction Rebellion, at Fridays for Future.
Now we're getting into it.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to get into it all.
Yeah, great.
And there, it sounds like you're playing for the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you prepare stuff for events when you're playing live?
Those are songs that we've already like written and rehearsed and stuff like that, and we decide what we're going to perform. But obviously, like every performance is different, and playing in a house concert versus a concert hall versus a huge climate strike definitely feels very different, so we end up with like a pretty different performance. But
we've played there are two memorable experiences in terms of playing at some of the local climate strikes, and mm-hmm. and just right off the bat we should say that the next upcoming global climate strike is this Friday at 11 a.m. at Waterloo Town Square, and it's starting with a round dance. It's going to be really incredible.
We'll get into that in a bit.
Okay,
and
perfect.
You know, all your future gigs, upcoming stuff, and
cool.
we'll talk about your environmental activities in great depth.
Cool. Yeah. But I remember, talking about Extinction Rebellion, the one concert or the one protest we played where they did a die-in, right? And Everyone lay down in Waterloo and we sang that song about the six mass extinction, Aramacine, while everyone was just lying down, kind of symbolizing that loss of life. So yeah, we definitely do think about what song fits in best in what context with what action, what vibe. Yeah.
So you mentioned Aramacine. Can you tell me some more about that?
Sure. Do you want to go for
it? Sure. Yeah. So the sort of geological era that we're in right now, you know, to the tune of Holocene, that sort of thing that we're talking about. Right now, we're in the Anthropocene, which is the human-defined geological era. The idea that we've had such an impact on the Earth that we have the greatest impact on this geological era. But there's a biologist named E.O. Wilson, who's a sort of leading climate-related biologist, and he has the idea that maybe this should actually be called the Aramacine, which means the age of loneliness, which obviously can refer to a lot of different things, but I think primarily, at least in the song, we sort of explore the huge loss of life and that sort of loneliness. You know, there are a lot fewer voices biologically speaking now.
Just to add to that, obviously Anthropocene is a very anthropocentric word, right? And Aramacine is a much more inclusive word. And if we're going to define this era, you know, maybe we shouldn't just be looking at what we're doing, like in terms of what we're leaving, you know, our layer of plastics and all that kind of stuff, but maybe in a broader sense, how does this affect everything else? Right. And Aramacine to me seems to symbolize more of a sense of empathy towards all those other things that are sharing the planet, not just Anthropocene.
Things that are sharing the planet, things that used to share the planet, things that will no longer share the planet in the future.
Yeah. And that's what this song is about.
Let's have a listen.
I spun this web myself. Not to trap you, just to show you all my silky fur. Twists down like roots to ground me.
That was actually I Built a Nest. Pushed the wrong button and got the wrong track.
Yeah.
We'll listen to Aramacine in a while. What can you tell me about I Built a Nest?
I Built a Nest came from a poem that I wrote inspired by the idea of sort of reimagining what different animals and plants that we see pretty often, reimagining like what they might actually be up to and what they might be feeling. And so, for example, the beginning goes through sort of the idea of a spider, and as opposed to the sort of narrative we have of a spooky spider who, you know, hides in the corners and builds webs to trap prey and, kind of spooky cobweb mansion style stuff. I was thinking about it in terms of like maybe this spider really is just an artist who wants to make these beautiful webs just to show off the art, and I grew extra arms to hold you, as in, you know, they must be great huggers because they have so many arms and
sure. Yeah.
Things like that. Then the second part is about bird lovers making a nest together, and then finally a tree who's just gonna stand tall and wait for the right person and that sort of thing. So just sort of reimagining the sort of fantastical world of nature.
And how nature might speak and sing if it could.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Did you have any composition influence in that, Keenan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is pretty much like what happened with Nightshade. There was a composed part. Veda wrote the guitar part and recorded that. And then I just layered, you know, 5 or 6 piano takes over top of it. Mm-hmm. So, they just really become very colorful, little textural sort of things that after, you know, spending 20 hours like sifting through things, suddenly like the song kind of emerges. So that was, and also getting you to sing like 10 of you at once. That I think that was one of my suggestions in this song, where you sing I Built a Nest, which is like, just keep adding your voice. Like it'll sound great, you know?
And so, it does sound great.
Thanks. Cool.
Thanks.
Yeah. Shall we go back to Aramacine?
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Let's have a listen to that. Hopefully I'll press the right button this time.
Make their choice against a sky. Left a song to linger's eye. And oh, would be easy to go. All that I love still holds me so. Whatever I must care for in my home is never to let. Oh, for the drays within the trees. And oh, to the crashes that once were, as voices raise their noise against a cry. Left a song to linger as I. All I can do is wonder, as one by one they leave. And in this age lies there, please.
Eremocene by Erso. Erso is Keenan Reimer Watts and Veda Hingard McDonald. Welcome to the studio.
Hey.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This
yeah,
is cool.
It's a lot of fun.
You were telling me while the song was playing that your perception of the music and what people hear it when people hear it for the first time.
Well, it's almost so far removed from where I am with the music because I'm so familiar that it's hard to even imagine what it would be like listening to it for the first time. But I suppose that if I want the song to do anything, it is to bring people in. And you know, there's some things going on in the song, like it fades out. And if you're listening to it alone and it's quiet and you're really giving it attention, you can hear bird sound coming in before the ending, and
mm-hmm.
that's kind of symbolic of the song's meaning that we talked about at the start of the show, that it represents the sixth mass extinction, and that it represents you know, that kind of that loss that we're currently experiencing. And so I guess my goal with the song would be to just try to broaden that sphere of empathy,
yeah,
you know, to those other things.
And when I play it on the radio, I faded in late and I faded out early. What does that do to the artistic integrity of the music?
I don't think it's a huge deal, yeah, to be honest. No, I think that you know, I spent a lot of time lining up the first notes, that's for sure, but it's not like it's gonna lose a lot. You know, the bulk of the song is there and the message is still pretty clear.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. You're saying too that when you're listening to the music yourself, you're picking every note apart. You're saying, you know, there's something at 3.5 seconds into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just get so familiar with something, right? That it just, yeah, you just, it's hard to experience the whole thing anymore. You get so caught up in the details. So I guess that's another thing that I'm envious of other people who are listening to this, since I can't anymore. Just experiencing the whole thing.
You can't experience it for the first time anymore.
No. Yeah. Well, yeah,
and you never have, because as the artist who created the work, as the producer who built the audio and put it on a recording,
yeah,
you never heard it for the first time.
I did.
as a produced work.
I was when we finished recording, I then left the next morning to go to the Banff Center for a month, and so I wasn't around for most of the mixing and producing process and stuff. So, mm-hmm, you know, I was just hanging out in the mountains playing opera, and then got the first mixes of the album to listen to out there. And so it was really exciting because I got to hear our album for the first time, having not really been involved in most of the producing process. Because, yeah, when I left, you know, there was still like 10 layers of violin with not a lot of editing and stuff like that. And so then,
just a wall of sound.
And so a lot changed since then, which was really exciting to hear.
You're smiling. You're happy about the outcome.
It was really fun. And we've gotten a lot of really great feedback from people. It's been really fun. We toured the album, which was also incredibly exciting, which we probably wouldn't have done if we hadn't made an album. So
Where'd you go?
We biked from Kingston to Kitchener, and we like we called it a CD release tour because this is something we sharing.
So tell me about your CD.
Yeah, so the CDs essentially we're trying to go zero waste as a band, right? And we're trying to minimize our impact. So that means, you know, CDs are very hard to recycle. So that's out of the question. Like plastic wrap packaging, all that kind of stuff. So we just couldn't do that. And so we kind of came up with another alternative. We call them CDs. Basically what you do is you print the album cover and the artwork, and it can still be really beautiful, with a download code onto seed paper, so that when people buy the album, they still have a really beautiful object, but it's made out of seed paper, so you can just plant it and it grows flowers. It's kind of a nice idea.
So for those listening, can you spell that for me?
S-E-E-D-Y and then, you know, C-D.
Okay, so... Yeah. It's a play on words.
Best pun ever. Yeah.
And what is seed paper?
Seed paper is, well, it's just paper with seeds in it.
Yeah, so like when they have the paper pulp, they add seeds, and there are a few different options. We got ours from Botanical Paperworks, and we have a bit of more information in terms of like specific seeds and how to do this yourself. We're trying to, on our website, we're trying to get other musicians using the same thing so that hopefully more bands will go zero waste in terms of their merch. And so there are a few different options. Like ours have pollinator friendly wildflowers that are native to Ontario. So that was really cool because we toured in Ontario. It was really neat, like thinking about we're not leaving a trail of plastic wrap behind us. We're hopefully leaving a trail of flowers and happy pollinators.
I was gonna say black-eyed Susan, sweet Alyssum, snapdragon are like some of the flowers that might come. People have even sent us pictures of them digging a hole and planting the album, which is really cool.
It's fun. Amazing. Like aside from, it's amazing that people want to buy our music, which is really exciting. But but also I think like people at our shows were getting pretty excited about just sort of the novelty of this idea and like getting to have an action associated with this purchase. And and we also kind of like the idea that, yes, you're taking home a beautiful object and you get to look at our amazing, beautiful artwork that we got by Abhilasha Dewan. And so that was very exciting. And then also that people get to practice sort of letting go and planting it and then having more beautiful objects, these beautiful flowers that will hopefully grow.
So if I buy the CD, then I'm burying all the beautiful artwork.
That's right.
Yeah. But that's kind of part of the idea.
Compostable artwork.
And also, it's kind of like, goes along with the statement that what's more beautiful is the flowers and like the life that it'll attract, right? Like butterflies and bees and all that. And we definitely need to take care of those folks. You know,
eschew material possessions in favor of growing things in nature.
Yes, that's the idea. That's the idea.
Look at the artwork.
Abhilasha Dewan.
You said that.
Yeah.
Really, I saw a couple of different versions in the material that you sent me. There's what is meant to go on the CD cover, but there was a PDF file of something that looked more organic.
We were definitely inspired. Like the lungs, the tree lungs idea, the album is just, if you look at it just looks like tree lungs and there are animals in it. But that's like, you know, people have thought of that before. I mean, trees, like the Amazon is called the lungs of the earth, right? Yes. So it's definitely being an artistic idea that's being explored. But we just kind of made, Abhilasha kind of did it in a unique way, and we worked with her so that it was like the Urso version.
We'll have that on the show notes on the website.
Oh, cool. Amazing.
Yeah, radiowaterloo.ca/CCC. And you can see all the previous shows and the current show as well with the podcast and everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
What would you like me to play next? Or do you want to play something in the studio?
Sure. Yeah, there you go.
We've got a song called Moon Daughter, which is about a colony of women who live under the ground. and men who uproot them out of their misunderstanding and the unwillingness to listen.
Happening to this very day.
Yes, yes. Okay.
So that one will be the violin.
We've got the one microphone that we're angling around a little bit so Veda can play violin. And so you have vocals for the both of you?
Yep.
Okay, so I can swing this microphone around for the guitar, and everything will sound better than it would if I didn't do that.
Okay, awesome. Cool.
Okay? Moon Daughter by Erso on CKMS Community Connections.
Take two.
Yeah.
Look beneath the earth, you'll find me there. I said I just don't like it in the air. It's just cooler with the worms. I think it's nicer with the mice or moles or snakes or something right here in my hole. I get sleepy when the sun comes up. Be black under the ground, but my eyes started hearing sound, and now the light you see I've found. Draw back the soil that covers my bare back, and paint my spine the colors of the day, and I'll pretend I'm here to stay. That's how you like it anyway. But I'm just waiting to take root under the soil. I'll bear fruit, and when they see what I've become, when they know what I have done, they will tear me from the ground, and in the sun I will be drowned. But he who kills me will be crowned, for to his laws I have been bound.
Mother Daughter?
Moon Daughter.
That's lovely. And that wasn't on the album.
No, it's not from the album.
So, it sounds like there might be more albums coming up.
At some point, yeah.
At some point, yeah. Maybe a year down the road or 2 years. Yep.
How much material do you have in your repertoire?
Well, we've got a lot of songs.
Yeah, we've got a lot of songs.
Keenan writes songs very, very quickly and very frequently.
We also write songs pretty quickly together.
Yeah,
like
that's
we've come
true.
Up with like piano duo stuff that we've thought about recording and using a song basis. And
we've got
all sorts
sort
of
a little new project that we're just starting that's Erso Nocturnes.
Yeah.
The idea of these sort of lullaby type pieces that we've started working on.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we probably have about 30 songs or so, 35 songs.
Yeah, something like that, and we're less than a year old as a band.
So yeah, it's come quickly.
That. I
yeah,
thought
you'd
been together forever.
No, we started playing together in March, actually. That was our first show.
So
we're like just starting off. Yeah.
Excellent. That's a lot of material then for such a short period
just,
of time.
Just, yeah. I mean, we both, I think, kind of, we met, we're musicians, and we both feel the same way about a lot of the issues that are going on, and like the environmental issues especially, so... So just lots of creative stuff started to pop up.
Yeah. I see you're wearing an environmentally themed t-shirt.
We the Earth.
Yeah,
my cousin gave me this for my birthday, sort of a backlash against the We the North obsession with sports.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that like, oh, you know, there's a more important ball game we should all be playing right now, maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
So the t-shirt shows the planet Earth on an extended finger rotating as the basketball players do.
Yeah.
But here's the Earth. We the Earth.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're both involved in Extinction Rebellion, in Fridays for Future, in a number of the environmental movements.
Yeah. Or we have been. Recently I've been focusing more on an organization called Communities for Conservation that Veda and I are both directors of. But we definitely been heavily involved in the protesting and that kind of stuff in the area.
Yeah, definitely like a lot of different environmental work. We've also got a concert series called Compostable Concerts. That's a zero waste concert series in the area, and also sort of starting to evolve into becoming sort of a hub for resources for musicians on sort of how to make your musical practice more environmentally friendly.
Yeah, we have a concert this Thursday at 7:30?
At Pat the Dog.
Pat the Dog on
Frederick Street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we were having like a lovely folk duo called Piper and Carson coming in and playing a set. And then afterwards, there'll be a facilitated discussion for people who are interested on learning how to go zero waste.
Okay.
Because lots of people are like, I need to buy apples and they come in bags and, you know, and all sorts of things.
Yeah, so just sort of creating a space where people can talk about that. And
we
just sort of, I think like kind of in most of our like environmental activism, we both sort of try to create space for things and like sort of more community-based things like Communities for Conservation.
So the concert on Thursday isn't just about environmental practices for musicians, it's for anybody.
Right, yeah, it's just some really sweet folk music, and then anybody can join in the discussion on going zero waste, and it's sponsored by Full Circle Foods, so we have a bunch of mason jars to give out for free for anyone who wants to take our zero waste challenge.
Yep.
Okay.
Trying to build these little hubs and encourage people.
That's right. Yeah. Have you played at Full Circle Foods?
No, we haven't played there.
Okay, Full Circle Foods, I had Sam Nabian a few months back.
Oh, yeah.
And he was telling me about the secret concerts, and there was one at Full Circle.
Oh, yeah.
And because they're secret, I don't really know much about them.
Yeah, So Far Sounds, right? Yeah. That's it. Although they don't really exist in this area anymore. They did.
And you were saying something about playing house concerts earlier as well. So you've done that before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've played some different sorts of venues, and I think we both really like house concerts. Mm-hmm. I think mostly because like our music is very personal and intimate. So I think a house concert setting works really well because everyone's very attentive and it's a very shared space. And I think also like in something that we try to do with our concerts is, again, sort of creating a space and to experience feelings about the environmental crisis, because a lot of our music is very personal and emotional about how we both feel about the situation with the environment. Mm-hmm. And so we try to allow people to sort of explore a more personal and emotional connection to nature in that space. And so house concerts work really well because it feels like we're all just sort of sitting around a living room together having a conversation, mm-hmm. and we happen to be singing our part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in a cafe, people may not be there for the music.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That's tough when you're like singing about some topics that are pretty heavy, right? And if no one's listening, even it's like, well, this is it's hard to sing about it. Yeah,
it would be. What would you recommend I play next, or would you like to play some more in the studio?
Old Stones.
This one was really fun. It's the third track on the album, and it's about sort of cyclical processes and about how important it is to let things naturally take their full cycle, and a more sort of circle-based thinking as opposed to these like linear methods that really are throwing us into a lot of problems like capitalism and plastic crisis.
Like limitless growth and things that don't actually like break down.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's about that and sort of returning to a more organic way of living and thinking. But the recording process was amazingly fun because right before I was about to leave, when we had just finished recording, Keenan sort of thought that maybe this track was not done and needed some more violin last minute. So I sort of, we recorded the studio, that we recorded the album in our attic. And
Album, or just this track?
The whole album.
The whole album. Okay. So I went up there and I was feeling pretty grumpy because I didn't want to do it. And so I didn't play violin. I just made spooky like mouth noises into the mic and just did like so many takes of like, yeah, just sort of talking
and she left, and then there I am on my own, like sifting through what was recorded on this, you know, maybe a couple days later, and I hear this like the creepiest whispering, and like, anyways, it was some spooky stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that turned into a composition called Old Stones.
Yeah.
Against the soil, how easy it is to toil to no end. But
Stones by Airso. Here on CKMS Community Connections, 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Welcome to the studio, Keenan and Veda.
Hey, hello. Thanks.
Yeah. You made a bike trip from Kingston to Kitchener?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, so that was this past August. It was over 600 kilometers, and we biked to tour our album that you were just listening to. And yeah, we mainly chose that so that we would have a zero emissions way of touring. We were originally going to borrow an electric vehicle, but didn't end up working out. And then I just sort of, as a joke, said, let's just go by bike, because we both bike everywhere
and
just around the city.
It's the best.
It was amazing. Yeah. I'm never going back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going out to, just as a side note, we're going out to BC in May. We're doing the Via Rail Artists on Board program, and we're going to maybe do a bike tour of BC.
Yeah.
We'll see how, that's pretty hilly, right? So.
Yeah, so we get to play music for people, play little concerts every day on the train on the way out there, mm-hmm. and they let us ride for free and feed mm-hmm. us and give us a place to sleep, and then mm-hmm. and then yeah, hopefully we're gonna work on planning a tour out there, and so it would be kind of crazy biking in the mountains, but also really beautiful. So, yeah.
And will you be playing on bicycle tour as well?
Yeah.
Plan some gigs out in that direction?
We haven't yet. We just found out that we got accepted to this program, yeah. and so we haven't started planning it yet, but that would be the idea. Yeah, we'd do sort of a combination of, you know, mountain hiking, sightseeing stuff, and playing concerts.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Is this income generating for you, playing music?
Yeah. Yeah, oh. For sure. Yeah, we keep it all within the band, though, and we, mm-hmm. we've decided... So we mentioned that we're part of Communities for Conservation, and yes. And that to us means that we've dedicated 20% of everything that we earn from any of our shows to conservation projects. So we've donated to a few projects now that we both agree on, and it's yeah, but it's going well. One thing of note is that we were talking about CDs. Mm-hmm. That's actually brought a lot of album sales to our shows. Like mm-hmm. a lot of people aren't buying CDs anymore, the right. traditional ones.
Yeah, because lots of people don't have CD players, or maybe they don't want to produce or like be responsible for plastic.
Yeah, so people are actually, you know, buying the CD yeah. CD album, and yeah. so that's really been cool, actually.
Yeah,
this is why we want other artists to pick it up.
Totally,
you know,
it's good for artists and for audiences
and for the planet. So it's
nobody
kind of
loses.
Win. Yeah.
And but yeah, like the we right now are keeping it all in the band so that we can, you know, pay to make more albums or maybe make a music video or stuff like that. So yep. we're not paying ourselves yet, but it's staying in the band, and we're paying the Earth its songwriting credits. and so yeah, we've talked about at some point once you know we have maybe a couple more years under our belts and have sort of decided that we're at a place where we want to pay ourselves, that we'd split it evenly, like each of us get a quarter and the band keeps a quarter and the Earth gets a quarter as an equal member of right. the band that she is.
Yeah, yes. True. Yeah,
an exceptionally interesting take on the Earth. I like that.
Well, we're trying to, like, yeah, that's something that at our concerts we're trying to provide space for people to think about this and feel about it. I think even today, with like so much publicity around environmental issues, we live in a culture where I don't think it's normal or considered like acceptable to express how people are really feeling about yeah. these issues, right? Yeah. And so, like, even though like eco-anxiety and climate grief, mm-hmm. they're like coined medical terms, you know, it's like a mental health issue.
It is.
But, you know, we're trying to like give people a healing kind of space to explore that.
I know that I've tempered my language in speaking to those people who don't seem to understand the urgency of the issue of keeping the Earth alive.
Yeah, it is hard.
We're pretty candid on stage.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's also nice, like Keenan was mentioning, we're part of Communities for Conservation, and that's a really cool opportunity that we have, I think, because not only can we talk about our feelings and encourage people to experience feelings while we're together there in a concert setting, but also mm-hmm. we have like a concrete action that we can offer to people in terms of like acting on how you're feeling in that moment, because Communities for Conservation offers like a text to donate. situation where you can text the word conserve to the number 20222 from any Canadian phone, and it'll donate $5 to the conservation project that we're supporting. So right now it plants 5 trees in the Kajabe Forest in Kenya. And so it's really nice to be able to, you know, express our feelings and have people express their feelings back to us, and then offer like a concrete action that anyone can take immediately that's right. really simple to sort of feel like you're empowered to take action on this.
Yeah. So our concerts, maybe plant flowers and trees. That's what we're saying. Which is pretty cool.
How do people find out more? Do you have an online presence for that?
About Communities for go to www.communitiesforconservation.org. Okay. And there's a lot of information about that.
Yeah, there's lots of ways anyone can get involved just by doing the text to donate or using it as part of their events and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah.
And your own music. How do people find you?
Urso-music.com. Yeah, we also have stuff on our website. And
yeah, that's our website. And we have an urso.bandcamp. Bandcamp account where our album can be found and purchased, and we've got a couple of other singles as well, and we have a YouTube channel and also a Facebook page, so yeah, you can just look us up on any of those things.
We're out there.
Yeah, definitely, like, talk to us as well. We like hearing from people. It's really nice, like, any sort of feedback on our music or just talking about environmental stuff or music in general or whatever.
Yeah,
Erso is a conveniently unique name. So I had no trouble finding you online when I was doing a little bit of searching.
Mm. Cool. That's good to hear.
Where does that come from?
Just sounded good. Just sounded kind of like...
Yeah, it's just sort of, you know, an earthy sound.
Yeah.
Without being sort of explicit or meaning anything concrete.
Yeah, not too much to it.
Okay. It works well.
It works.
It works well.
Yeah. Want to play something else? Want me to play something else?
Sure. From the album? I guess... there's what's left: As Body, Mothers, The Lucky Ones, Caspian Turn.
Yeah, we could do. Do we have time for As Body? It's a little long.
Sure.
Okay. Sweet. Cool. So can we talk a little bit about this before?
Yeah, please.
Cool. So this song is kind of it's just an extended metaphor for the earth as a body, but it kind of ends stating that no matter what happens to this body, the core of the body will continue to beat and burn. And and when we play this live, this is usually what we end our sets with, and everyone in the audience is we encourage to, like, just tap along a really simple beat at the end, and then all the music dissipates except for that beating, and collectively we like thinking that we represent the earth's heartbeat.
Yeah, so feel free to tap along or in your cars
wherever
or whatever
you are.
And it's fun. Like, right now I'm actually working on orchestrating this song for orchestra and choir with us as the soloists for a concert with the Waterloo Chamber Players on February 29th.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting, and the song is sort of taking on a new shape, and
it's really cool.
Okay, so while we're on the topic of future concerts, you've got something on Thursday. Can you just repeat that again?
Yeah, so that's, we're not playing, but that's a concert that we organized through our concert series, Compostable Concerts. And so that's that's this Thursday at 7:30 at Pat the Dog, Edna's Space on Frederick Street. Okay. And what else have we got going on? Soon we'll have a tour in BC planned. We're playing with the Waterloo Chamber Players on February 29th.
Got a show in Toronto in January.
True, with Kane Miller.
The thing, Veda is a full-time student as well.
That's right, I go to Laurier.
We sound like we have a lot that we're juggling, and then imagine full-time on top of that. So, anyways.
That's how it goes, right? The busiest people are taking on more and more tasks because... Yeah. They understand the importance of the things that need to be done.
Yeah, true.
Quick word about Friday, November the 29th.
Great.
The next global climate strike, if you want to stand with Greta Thunberg, is on Friday the 29th in Waterloo Town Square. Show up at 11 if you want to participate in a round dance that's being Idle No More. And there's also a brief march outside. If you're just walking, it might be too cold. If you're dancing, it'll be warm. And then there's going to be a panel discussion And that should be incredible. And that's at First United Church, I think, in Waterloo.
Yep.
And this is also actually a Communities for Conservation event where they've decided to incorporate that.
Okay.
So if you get thousands of people, you might get, you know, tens of thousands of trees or something like that out of it.
We'll have it all on the show notes.
Cool.
And we're going to finish off the hour then with Asbody.
Amazing.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us, Bob.
Keenan Reimer Watts, Veda Hingert McDonald from AIRSO in the studio, CKMS FM 102.7. Taking out the hour is their song, Asbody.
My boy.